Welcome back to another round of Truth Training on the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. Today, our host Jeff Lyle is going to take some focused time to offer us help for our own walks with Jesus. The Christian life is to be an intentional life. The race is run by those who make it their aim to partner with God in day-to-day living. How can we do a better job of that? Well, Jeff is going to help us with that right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Mavericks and Misfits. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm your host, Jeff Lyle. Thanks for being a part of today's podcast episode. If you're new, we do a new episode every Tuesday, or almost every Tuesday. I think we probably missed a couple over the years, but as a general rule, we release a new episode of the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. And of course, many of you would know by now, and I'll stop mentioning it after today's broadcast, that we are doing a video version after years of just doing audio. So you can subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts on audio. And if you want to watch the videos, it's on the Mavericks Misfits podcast YouTube channel. You can find us pretty easily there. And I'm just grateful that you've tuned in. We like to unpack truths about the kingdom. Sometimes we talk about cultural stuff. Usually we weave in a lot of stuff with both Bible, kingdom, and the world in which you live. Weave it all together in one podcast. What's my goal? My goal is always the same thing as it pertains to the podcast. My calling is to equip, to train, to raise up, and in the local church context, we like to send forth. Can't really send forth on a podcast because that is the job of the local church, but if we can equip, we can raise up, we can challenge, we can give you the tools that you need to go further in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of our audience is born again. We are Christians. We are people that have recognized our need for Jesus Christ as the Lord of our lives, and so we almost exclusively talk to believers. That's what we primarily do, and I don't make any apologies for that. I thank God for evangelists. We need them. You know, I do the work of an evangelist. That's just not my primary calling, and so I'm talking almost exclusively to believers. And today, I want to bring you, like the last podcast I did, the episode from last week, we came out of the book of 1 Timothy, and today, or actually 2 Timothy, I want to be in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I'm going to read to you. I'm going to risk it. I'm going to read 6 verses on a podcast. Can y'all handle 6 verses? I certainly hope you can handle 6 verses on a podcast. But this one, man, is really about just kind of investigating where you are in your own walk, in your own life, and you know, how are things going for you as a follower of Jesus? How are things going for you? What are you living for? Is your life bringing honor and glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And I'm going to go ahead and say, I hope so. And if not, hallelujah. You've tuned in on a day where Holy Spirit can draw you a little bit more deeply into the things that he has for your life. So listen to these ancient words from the Apostle Paul to a minister named Timothy, one of Paul's sons in the faith. And this is what he's saying. He's going to do a contrast here. He's going to talk about the house. He's going to use the metaphor of somebody's home. And the metaphor of the home, the symbolism of the home, is representing the church, representing the body of Christ, and I would say every local gathering by way of application, every local gathering. He's going to talk about what goes on inside the church, what goes on inside a local church, what kind of people are there, and maybe more importantly, as I give you permission to think about your own walk, what kind of person are you? And so he's going to talk about the two types of people. It's not only two types of people, but in this context, he's going to talk about people that have cooperated with the Lord to such an extent that their life is a life of honor and usefulness, and they're fit for God to use them. And then he's going to talk about an opposite type of person that is not living an honorable life. They're in the church. We could probably stretch it and say a lot of these people who are not living honorably are actually born again. I don't think all that live dishonorably are born again. I think that part of being born again, the equation of it is that at some point you're going to start honoring Jesus on purpose with your life. That's the heart of somebody that's been redeemed. But there are people that are at different levels of spiritual maturity, and they haven't come to the place where they're honoring the Lord yet. And Paul's going to say, hey, if that's you, here's some things that you need to think about, okay? So let me read these verses to you out of 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and verse number 20 is where we're going to begin. He says, now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. And some are for honorable use and some for dishonorable use. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house. Who's the master of the house? Jesus, okay? And he says, those people will be ready for every good work. And so here he says again, in the last podcast, we talked about flee, follow, fight. He says to Timothy again, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents or her opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. All right, that's a lot of verses. I won't be able to cover every word or every detail that's communicated here, but we're being presented with an opportunity to take up our game, to move things up a notch, to go a little bit deeper, a little bit further on purpose. You know, one of the things that really, really should concern us in the modern church is this idea of accidental discipleship. This idea that one day you're just going to show up mature. God's going to zap you from heaven. You're going to come down at an altar call. Some man of God, woman of God's going to lay hands on you, and you're going to get the holy zap. And all of a sudden, you're going to be, you know, rushed to the front of the line in spiritual maturity. Does not work that way. Absolutely does not work that way. The only people that grow in spiritual maturity are the people who are making it a priority. People that don't make spiritual maturity a priority, they don't stay the same. They go backwards. So the whole calling of the Christian life is to be pressing into the Lord at all times, to be going deeper, to be constantly filling yourself with the things that edify your soul and mature you as a believer. And some people make the mistake of thinking, well, God will do that for me. God's sovereign. God is just, as long as I just read the Bible a little bit, all this stuff will happen. Well, I love you, but you're wrong. The forces in the culture, the forces of the enemy, the power of the enemy, the fact that you're living in a very wicked world, there's no such thing as just standing still in the kingdom. If you are not proactively moving forward, then you will reactively be pulled backwards. It's just the way it works. And so when we're looking at this, Paul again is using this illustration of a house. And in a house, he talks about these different kinds of vessels. What exactly is the apostle talking about there? He's talking about these vessels that are honorable and dishonorable. And what we're talking about here is like things like bowls, things like pots, pans, not pans, but like vessels, clay pots in those old ancient homes. Could be furniture. It could be beds. It could be anything that people utilize in order to make a household what it needs to be. Okay, so when I'm thinking about this kind of stuff, I'm thinking, all right, I want to know what is he talking about. All right, so this is a little icky, but when they're talking about vessels of dishonor, let's go back to the time before there was sanitation and running water and toilets in your home. What do you think they did? Well, oftentimes within those homes, there was, let's just call it what it is, a poop pot. Okay. And so if somebody had to go to the bathroom, there's a pot over in the corner. Everybody in the family uses it. Later on, they take that waste outside and they dispose of it that way. Not very appealing, kind of gross, as a matter of fact, but they did what they had to do back in the day. Well, Paul would say that is a vessel for dishonorable use. That is not the same kind of vessel you want to cook your evening meal in. That is not a vessel that you would use for anything else other than collecting dung, collecting waste and urine. And so Paul says, he's saying there is a practical parallel in the kingdom. In God's household, vessels represent people. Vessels are representative of people. And so when we think of people who are vessels of dishonor, guys, there's no getting around it. What do they hold? They're full of unprofitable waste. Let's just say it that way. Walking on an edge right there, but they're just not somebody that God looks at. Does he love these people? Of course he loves these people. Can he use these people? Not for honorable purposes. Why? Because they're full of waste. because their life is defiled, because they are not proactively seeking to become a vessel of honor. That's what we're getting at here. And look, the Bible, the idea in our generation that it doesn't matter if you play the game, doesn't matter if you win the game, doesn't matter if you train, it doesn't matter if you practice, because at the end of the season, everybody's going to get a trophy. You know, I know that I joke about that from time to time. If you've followed me for over the years, you'll hear me mention that once or twice a year. But I actually think that that's a demonic teaching. I literally think that the everybody gets a trophy kind of flavor in America is actually a principle that's sourced in hell, because that's not the way it is in the kingdom. Salvation is free, purchased by another, granted to you by the free grace of God, and anybody who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. But beyond you getting your ticket punched to heaven, so to speak, is the concept of what value does your life have? What's your life actually worth in the kingdom? Well, there are so many teachings in the New Testament about that. But ultimately, for today's purposes, we can boil it down and we can say this. Is your life a life of honor or dishonor? Now, let's walk back a little bit of the nastiness of that clay pot full of waste, because nobody wants to think of themselves that way. But let me just ask you, is there anything of honor in your vessel? Is your heart honorable? Is your will honorable? Is your mind honorable? Are your relationships honorable? Are your morals honorable? Is your character honorable? Are your disciplines honorable? Like, are you intentionally moving those things in the direction of Jesus Christ for his glory? Are you serious about your walk with Christ? Well, if you are, then you're doing these things proactively and consistently, not perfectly. None of us are perfect. We all need to continue to grow. We will sin from time to time. We will make mistakes. We will repent. We will confess. We will ask forgiveness of God and anybody that we harmed. And then we keep moving on the trajectory of what it means to be a disciple. That's all honorable. That's all intentional. Like, we're not glorified yet, so I'm not talking to you about perfection, but I'm talking to you, just because I'm not talking about perfection doesn't mean I'm not talking about proactive intentionality with your life. You know, the Christians that I most admire did not accidentally arrive one day. They didn't just get to this place where they all of a sudden were, you know, spiritual. They weren't all of a sudden filled with Scripture. They weren't all of a sudden filled with the Spirit. They weren't all of a sudden people that were, you know, working the works of Jesus Christ, which he said we would do. No, all these people pressed in. All these people picked up their cross. All these people deny themselves daily. And so Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's saying, Timothy, this is what we do. So he goes on, he says, you've got to cleanse yourself from what is dishonorable. Cleanse yourself from what is dishonorable. You know, I do, all of us have prayed, God, you know, mature me, God, cleanse me, God, make me new, create in me a clean heart, oh God, renew a right spirit within me. We believe in that teaching from Psalm 51. And so those are valid things, but none of that happens by God sending you some zap. Like, God works through your intentional cooperation. God will create in you a clean heart. God will renew a right spirit within you. God will make you honorable, but not apart from you and I cleansing ourselves from things that are dishonorable. So there's just certain things I don't do anymore. I lived a very flagrantly violating, sinful life. When I came to Jesus, everything changed. Did it all change on day one? No. But the process did. The process began on day one, and I'm still in that process. Here we are 30-something years later, and I'm still in the process of being changed. I'm still in the process of regularly evaluating, is my attitude honorable? You know, behaviors are easy to modify. Words are a little less easy to modify, but you can modify what comes out of your mouth. You can restrain yourself. But what the Lord is doing, you get to a place where God's like, I'm going to deal with you about your attitude. Jeff, you've modified your behavior, you've controlled your words, but like, he goes all the way into the spirit, all the way into the soul. He gets down in there to, why do you think the way you think? You know, I don't walk in an unhealthy fear of God, but I am well aware that the Lord hears my thoughts. The Lord can read my attitude as if I was plastering it on a 65-inch LCD. The Lord, nothing's hidden from him. And so Holy Spirit will start talking to you about your attitude. If your attitude is unloving, if your attitude is bitter, if your attitude is forgiving, if your attitude is arrogant, if you think you're better than other Christians, that's dishonorable waste in your vessel. That's poop in your pot. Can I say it that way? Like, how much poop are you content to live with in your pot? I mean, think about this. Think about this in the natural. I know this is gross. Let's just make it a litter box, a kitty litter. We had cats when I was growing up, and it was my job to clean the cat litter. Not a fun job. It always went to the lowest member of the household, and for a season, that was me in my home. And so as a little boy, I had to come home every day from school. I had to clean the kitty litter. You know what you're doing? You're literally scooping out dung from your cats. Now, how much poop are you willing to live with in your house? How much of that fragrance is acceptable? How much of that nastiness are you willing for guests to come over and smell? Zero. We don't want that. Much less, you know, our human bathrooms and stuff. Nobody wants that aroma, that reality filling the house. And yet in our own lives, we'll tolerate a little poop. We'll tolerate a little dung. We'll tolerate a little waste. Hey, it's no big deal. Most of me is clean and holy, but I got a little smear here. I got a little scent there. I know this is gross, but think of how unappealing it is to the Lord who lives in your temple, who lives in your vessel. How do you think He feels about, Holy Spirit feels about you and I potentially allowing poop in our lives, dung in our lives? You know, we don't think that way. So the Bible, through Paul to Timothy, says, cleanse yourself from that which is dishonorable. Paul would write in 2 Corinthians 7:1, he was like, therefore, beloved, having these promises, let's cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Cleanse yourself. That's what the scripture teaches. That doesn't sound overly spiritual. You know what it sounds like? Hard work, consistent diligence, a lot of discipline, a whole lot of repenting, a whole lot of humility. And we just would rather go to a crusade or a conference or a big event. We'd rather just blah, 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 speaking in tongues and jamming with the music and get our worship vibe on. We'd rather do that and say we met with God than to get into the secret place and say, God, help me with my attitude. Lord, help me with my anger. Lord, help me with my gossip. Lord, help me with my lust. Lord, help me with my greed. You know, guys, this is the kind of stuff at this late hour in this generation that we need to be thinking about. So if you cleanse yourself, the Word of God says you will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, and ready for every good work. Let me probably just finish up there. Is it your desire as a follower of Jesus to be useful to God? Is it your desire to be useful for God? Do you want the Lord to use you? Do you want your life to please Him? Do you want the Lord to look at you and say, I love what she's doing. I love how He's going hard after me. I love how He's presented His body a living sacrifice to be acceptable and useful to me. I love how she's not living for her own glory. Like, I want to bring pleasure to His heart. He brings pleasure to my heart. The Lord Jesus Christ brings pleasure to my heart. I want to be pleasing to the one who saved me. If you don't, something's disconnected. And this idea of being set apart as holy and useful by God, set apart as holy, and that word holy, hagios in the Greek, that word holy just means to be sanctified, to be set apart for God's purposes. And then it says, ready for every good work. You know, I do know that every person that God uses is flawed. No, I mentioned earlier, nobody's glorified yet. Nobody's walking in absolute sinless perfection yet. But I don't want you to ever to entitle yourself to use that as an excuse for tolerating sin or compromise in your life. Like, you got to be relentless. You got to wage war against sin because it's waged war against you. And if you're not fighting back and getting militant, I mean, the biblical language on this principle, all throughout the New Testament especially, is like spiritually violent. Paul said he beat his body into submission daily. I don't know if he physically did that, but it's probably more representative of the fact that he did not indulge a single fleshly appetite. He was beating his flesh down. Paul said, we owe no man anything. We are not debtors to our flesh. Paul talked about being crucified, dying daily. I mean, these, Jesus said it. Jesus said, deny yourself every day and take up your cross and follow me. The cross is an instrument of death. And yet in modern Christianity, if I can risk this critique, in modern Christianity, we've got such, you know, filtered views of Christian life. You turn on, you know, social media, you look at all this stuff that's happening. Everything's under the lights. Everything's got a color filter on it. Everything's got a soundtrack to it. It's got, you know, filters and, you know, just all the stuff that we're trying to use to make Christian life look super cool. I'm thinking the majority of the Christian life doesn't take place on a platform. And for those that are on a platform, if God put them there, and by the way, there's a lot of people that put themselves on a platform, but if God puts somebody in a bigger platform, it is people that have made themselves ready for the master's use long before they were ever entrusted with a platform. So people that crave a microphone and a spotlight and a platform and they want to be heard and viewed and followed and all of that stuff, you're not fit. You're not ready. I had somebody tell me not long ago, hey, quit downing on people that want the microphone. That's part of their calling. And I'm thinking, if you want the microphone, then you probably aren't walking with Jesus as much as you think you are. Like, you don't need a microphone to testify. You don't need a platform to witness. You don't need a spotlight to communicate for the glory of Jesus. You don't need any of that stuff. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, hey, you're taking away my desire to be a communicator. God's called me to preach. God's called me to teach. God's called me to prophesy or to be a witness. You don't need a platform, a microphone, or a camera for any of that stuff. Just do it wherever you go. As you are going, make disciples. Make yourself fit for the master's use, ready for every good work. What's the good work that God has for you? Let me just finish there today. What is the good work that God has for you? And are you cleansing yourself to get yourself ready to be fit for that good work? What if there's something more for you that he's got? I'm just a firm believer there probably is. There's probably something more that the Lord has for you beyond what you've already done with him, beyond how he's already used you. There's something more. There may be a greater amount of influence, a greater impact. Maybe there's somebody in your future that God's going to pour you into. And that person's going to be the next whoever. Pick your hero of the faith. Like, maybe it's not just about you. Maybe it's about who God wants to use you to influence for his glory so that they far exceed and excel anything you've ever done. Those are the kind of good works that we're talking about. And so Paul said to Timothy, in order to do that, you've got to run away from some things. Quit following youthful passions. Go after righteousness and faith and love and peace and do it with those that call on the Lord from a pure heart. Please don't miss 2 Timothy 2:22. It says you need to be doing this with people, with like-minded people, okay? What in the world does that look like? Like-minded people, that means you're not, I'm a maverick, but I don't travel alone. I'll buck the system all day long. I'll do it all day long. If the system is not in alignment with Scripture, I'm going to buck the system, okay? I don't have a problem with that. That's what makes me a maverick. But you got some people that are so convinced of their maverick status that they don't do life with anybody. They've abandoned the church because all they can see is what's wrong with the church. Do you think you're that special? Can I be bold here? Oh, I see what's wrong with the church. It's corrupt. It's full of hypocrites. It's never going to be what God intended it to be. My friends, have you not read your Bible? Have you not read the book of 1 Corinthians? Have you not read the book of Galatians? Have you not read the book of Romans? Have you not read the book of Acts? People are like, oh, I got this new insight that the church is flawed and there's sin in the church. Hello? You're not original. And God didn't give you the right to walk away. It's a coward that walks away from the church. It's a reformer, a courageous reformer that stands and will work to reform what is wrong with the church. I don't have any use. I want to be loving and I want to be kind here. I don't have any use for people that just stand on the sideline and throw stones at the church as if they're the only ones who notice what's wrong with it. Some of us know what's wrong with it and we stay and welcome Jesus Christ to use us to make that church that is flawed more and more like him as time goes by. What do? We invest. We discipline ourselves. We get proactive. We cleanse ourselves. And we say, Lord, I'm part of the problem. You know, it's funny to me, a lot of the people that walk away from church and are just critics and all they do is spout off on what's wrong with the church. I'm thinking, you realize you were a part of the problem before you left, right? That your attitude contaminated it. And if we'd all just get humble, If we'd all stay in the place of fasting and praying and staying in the scriptures and loving one another and bearing with one another and running with those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, great things would happen. And they take time. And I'm sorry you've got church wounds. I've got them all over me. If you could see my soul, it's got some deep, jagged wounds from Christians in it. People think pastors do all the wounding. Are you crazy? Imagine being responsible for hundreds of people over decades and how many wounds you're going to get. Yeah, there are some leaders who have deeply wounded Christians. They're going to give an account for that. I don't have any illusions. There have been times where I've been operating in my flesh where I've wounded people as a Christian leader. And any time I've known about it and God convicted me about it or these people brought it to my attention, I have repented. I've gone back to them. I've admitted my faults. Nonetheless, they're still wounded. But I just want to tell you, we wound each other. Why? Because when people that are still in process bump up against each other, our jagged edges draw blood. And so you can't just walk away. It says, follow with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. And then Paul goes on to say that the servant of the Lord should not be quarrelsome, but should be kind to everyone, patiently enduring evil and correcting your opponents with gentleness so that God might grant them repentance. So friends, these are a part of what it means to be vessels of honor. You know, you can keep your poop pot. I don't want that stink on me, and I don't want that stink around me. We got to help each other grow in this area. And we've got to recognize that if you're going to be fit for the master's use, and man, you want to be, right? If you're going to be fit for the master's use, if I'm going to be fit for the master's use, it's nobody's responsibility for me but mine. Nobody's responsible to make Jeff Lyle fit for the master's use. It is my responsibility. It is your responsibility to make yourself fit to be used by the master. And you never graduate from it. It's not like taking a course. It is your life. Because the master wants to use us in deeper and deeper ways as we progress in our journey of faith. So if the master is going to continue to use us in deeper and deeper ways, then he's got to continue to sanctify us in deeper and deeper ways, which means we have to continue to partner with him and cooperate with him and take initiative from him in deeper and deeper ways. A lot to think about from 2 Timothy chapter 2 today. I hope you've been at least challenged, maybe even some of you encouraged. Please understand, when I speak this way and I'm forthright and firm and everything, listen, I'm not doing it out of a mean heart. I've just been around this thing and I'm invested. I've been doing this a long time, and I just learned that there are some people out there that get so much subtlety, so many pats on the head, so many little soft kisses blown at them from podcasters and from preachers and prophets that have ulterior motives. I'm just like, man, we need to start sharpening iron with iron. When iron sharpens iron, sparks fly from time to time. So yeah, I'll say the strong stuff. You can handle it. You're a big boy. You're a big girl. You wouldn't keep tuning into Mavericks and Misfits podcast if you weren't. And I appreciate the fact that you do, and I hope that you've been edified today. If you want more resources, visit us at transformingtruth.org. That's the umbrella ministry. It kind of has multiple ministries under it. Transformingtruth.org is the website. If you want to look or listen to some of the archive audio, you can go to maverickmisfit.com. And if you want to watch these videos, again, we've just built out the YouTube page for the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. Lots of resources out there. And listen, I want to thank you for tuning in today. We'll talk to you next time on the podcast. God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and to like, rate, and review Mavericks and Misfits wherever you are listening and watching. We will talk to you again next week.